Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Leslie Williamson. Since 2011, Williamson has been the executive director of the Saltonstall Foundation for the Arts and Arts Colony. She is a graduate of the Carnegie Mellon University, where she received her degree in arts management. Prior to her move to Ithaca, New York, Williamson worked as a program coordinator for the Chautauqua Institution's Signature Lecture Series, and most recently as director of the North Shore Arts Alliance. Locally, she has served as a volunteer for the Tompkins County SPCA, and currently serves on the executive board of Buffalo Street Books. And welcome.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah, wonderful to have you. Now, I want to know what it was that got you interested in the arts and supporting artists, and how did that come about?
My parents were both classical musicians, so I grew up in a family where there were babysitters on symphony nights. So the arts were sort of always a part of my life. It was a, you know, when you're a kid, your life is just normal. You think everyone kind of has that life.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, you know, it was more the influence of Chautauqua. My father was a teacher during the school year at what was then Trenton State College, just outside of Trenton, New Jersey. Mm. And then in the summertime, he played in the symphony at Chautauqua, which is a 9-week, really intensive summer season in western New York in Chautauqua County. And Chautauqua has a resident theater company and a ballet company and a school of visual arts. And it's such a multidisciplinary arts environment that I think from a very young age, both my brother and I were just around it, just sort of exposed to it through our lives.
But, you know, with all those offerings you just talked about, I wonder where you saw a need for artists to be supported, both monetarily as well as in some ways spiritually.
I think everyone I knew was a creative person, and I started volunteering to help them, whether it was a little puppet company or a little grassroots bluegrass music festival that was taking place in the community, and that felt like a natural fit for me. I felt like I had some skills and some energy and some perspective and some time to fill in those areas where just help was needed, whether it was marketing or program planning or sort of some strategic thinking about what they were doing. And and I had no idea at the time that this was something you could get a degree in and make a living doing sort of arts administration. So I just kind of fell into it over time.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so great you fell into something that you love. Now, I want you to tell me a little bit about Connie Saltonstall. She's the founder of the Saltonstall Foundation for the Arts and Colony. Tell us about her.
This is always nerve-wracking when people ask me about Connie because, you know, she has family members living in the area and very old, dear friends still in the area, so I hope I will get all of this correct. She was a photographer all her life, also a painter and a visual artist. She got into historic preservation and was really instrumental in saving some of Ithaca's buildings, like the Clinton House right next door to us and the Boardman House.
Wow.
And she was one of four children. Many people in Ithaca know Alice Saltonstall, who is her younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Her older brother, Pete, who runs the Treleaven Winery up in King Ferry. And then there's another brother that's out in California. And she moved back to Ithaca in the 80s, I'm hoping that's right. She had 200 acres of property that was given to her by her mother after her mother died, and it was out in Ellis Hollow, right in the area where she grew up. And she finally moved back and wanted to make her, you know, sort of live the rest of her life in Ithaca and built this beautiful house in 91, 92. And then really tragically got cancer and died at the age of 49 in 1994. Sort of she had lived in the house for about a year and a half at that time.
Wow. And then so she had surrounded herself with friends and people who saw her vision to fruition. What was the original thought behind this? Artists, photographers, writers?
Right. Tell
us.
And some of course, many people around here know Vicky Romanoff, a sculptor up in Trumansburg, also lived many years in Ithaca, and K.K. Duarte, Kathy, who lives right out in Ellis Hollow, who was a childhood friend, and then Jillian Peterson Craig, who's a visual artist and was an instructor at Cornell at the time. And those were our three founding board members. They got together with Connie, who really had built this house with the idea that other specifically visual artists, but other creative people would share that space with her from time to time. Mm. So it's spacious accommodations filled with light, sort of up on a hill. And KK and Vicky and Jillian sort of put the original kind of structure and architecture of this residency program together. We were founded, we incorporated officially in 1995, and sort of based off the granddaddy, the models out there at the time that were very well known, like Yaddo and McDowell and Ragdale and Vermont Studio Center and Virginia Center for the Creative Arts, and lots of those, lots of the big sort of well-known arts colonies at the time.
I want you to tell us about the programs. There's two main programs, right? There's the summer juried residence, and then there's the do-it-yourself off-season. Tell us about both of those.
The juried residencies are really what we started with, and that was really all there was between 96, and I shouldn't say that. That was the key program at the colony between 96 and about 2011 until about the time I came, when we were really only open during the summer. These are residences where New York State artists and writers compete for the opportunity to come to the colony for a month of time, really a month of uninterrupted time for them to focus on their craft, whether it's poetry or photography or visual arts. And then I came to Saltonstall at the end of 2011. Within a couple of years, really within about a year, I couldn't understand why the buildings were ever empty.
Ah.
There wasn't anyone really there in the winter, and I thought this was such a legacy and such an act of generosity by Connie and that original founding board to make this space available to artists and writers, and I was surprised that they weren't being used, the buildings weren't being used in the winter.
Ah.
So I asked the board to give me a little leeway and experiment a little bit, and we created these sort of DIY, self-directed retreats for really anyone in a non-juried way. Any serious or active hobbyist in the arts or literature can pay $25 a night and just come on their own. You bring a bag of groceries, you block out a little time, it's first come, first served. And that program has really exploded. I mean, we serve close to 100 people between October and April, and the vast majority of them come for 2 to 4 nights. So
wow.
They're very short. So there's sort of constant kind of in and out. And a lot of local people, a lot of local writers, a lot of local women writers with kids at home who can't get away, and a lot of people for whom a month-long residency is just not possible in their lives.
Yeah.
So this sort of flexible, low-cost option really appealed to a lot of people, and it's been really successful.
You know, I'm always curious about, so the juried aspect of this program. How does that work? Do you have a board? They have to submit their art? To tell us how that goes.
Right. I just want to say right off the bat that I do not choose the artists.
Okay.
I think a lot of artists come to Saltonstall and they're grateful and happy and they keep thanking me, thinking that I'm the one that chooses them. And thank goodness I'm not. We convene a different panel per discipline every year. So they constantly change.
Oh.
And they tend to be professionals in the field, academics, some alums of the program. They don't necessarily have to be located in New York State, though the majority are. So we'll put a panel together for poetry and a panel for prose and a panel for photography and film, and then a slightly larger panel for the visual arts, because that's our largest category. And they review applications online in an anonymous way. So they are anonymous to our applicants.
Ah.
And they only see an applicant's work sample and their artist or writer statement. And that was a change of a couple of years ago when we made that process more anonymous in an effort to be a little more egalitarian, a little more inclusive. We really didn't want people to feel intimidated by either their lack of experience or lack of education or their age, whether they felt like they were too old or too young. And it has really kind of broadened the range of people that come in the summer
now.
I've
noticed that because I get sent your list of, of new pupils, so to speak. And it's fascinating, all the different kinds of artists and nationalities. And it seems to me you have more women. Which makes sense to me because women are still underrepresented, especially in painting. And
yeah, it's true. I guess I haven't thought as deeply about that subject. We've always skewed We think we've always skewed more towards women, whether they're not finding the opportunities that they need or whether this particular opportunity appeals to them more, like a community, you know, kind of you live in community with people for the period of time that you're in residence. Maybe that's more appealing. I'm not sure what accounts for that always.
Yeah, I was wondering if you do you interact with the people who are chosen, and are they chosen by consensus, or how does that part of it work?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, generally consensus, although we allow the jurors to, if there's not a consensus, we actually want them to give us their top pick. So we have, so say you and someone else are sitting on the poetry jury and you agree on maybe two people, but then maybe you have someone that you're really passionate about and your co-juror has an equal feel for someone else. We want your top picks. We don't necessarily want you to compromise. And so that also kind of gives us a really diverse array of writers, even within a single discipline.
Yeah. I've noticed that. That's so important.
Yeah.
We need more voices. We need more diversity, really.
Right.
The white male enclave, especially in the art world, is still prevalent.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And I think partly because we skew a little bit towards Brooklyn and New York City, but not all, well, yes, always. They're just more artists and writers there. I mean, and we're open to all New York State. But I think, you know, someone like Ocean Vuong, the poet who just wrote this novel, who's just on sort of every top list imaginable, and I love him to pieces. He is an alum from 2013, one of my first summers. As soon as that community, that larger writing community and poetry community, sees that he's been to Saltonstall, that's sort of all it takes sometimes for them to say, he had a good experience there. He was there. He's acknowledging Saltonstall in his books. God bless him. And then all of a sudden, the community of people that are fans of his and part of his community then begin to apply. So sometimes, you know, it's like the law of small numbers. We're a small colony. But I've seen, certainly in the poetry category, I've even seen sort of that influence.
Oh, yeah.
It's been kind of amazing.
God, it's so nice to know that there's a local organization that's nationwide in its influence. It's really quite something.
It's really, we're sort of quiet and tucked away, and we sort of do our work, you know, not downtown. You don't just sort of drive past us.
You
can't just pop in to have coffee with me. But so sometimes I lose that perspective and I forget that that's a really special element of what we do.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you also provide grants for artists and writers. So tell us about that.
Oh, we don't.
We don't anymore.
That was a casualty of the recession. Yes, in the very beginning, that original founding board, and I loved this idea. They really set up parallel tracks of support. And one was the residency for people who could come and wanted to come and wanted that experience. Uh-huh. And the other was an unrestricted cash grant. I think they were $5,000. It was a lot of money. Both of them were very competitive, but I have to say the cash grant was probably more competitive.
Yeah.
You
think you'll be able to resurrect that?
You know, I don't know. We've sort of moved in some other, I wouldn't say we've moved in other directions, but I think that our focus is more on the colony and more on having people there and supporting people there.
Well, while they're right in the process of working.
Yeah, I think so. So it hasn't been a topic of conversation in a while, I'll admit.
Yeah. You know what I wanted to ask you, too? These are rooms and places for people to stay solitary. Do you have to make sure that they're really working? Do you ever have problems with people wanting to bring people up and just party?
No.
That's remarkable to me.
I mean, we set the expectations and we set sort of the basic ground rules very clearly from the very beginning. So people really understand who we are, what we're doing, what we're offering, and sort of what our expectations are. And that's not to say that you're not going to get some sort of high maintenance-y kinds of people.
Oh, sure.
It just takes a while for them to get settled or, you know, they're human beings and everyone brings their life, you know, you bring your life with you wherever you end up going. And that's
and your personality.
Absolutely.
And your neuroses.
Absolutely. And these are five strangers. I mean, it's sort of a leap of faith to, you know, apply to this thing and you know you're going to be, you know, living in this beautiful, quiet environment with four other strangers for a month at a time. But no, I think people are so anxious to work. They're just anxious to work in an environment that's so free of distraction because they don't have that in any other place in their lives.
Yeah, no.
they really do come and sort of get focused and start working right away.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Leslie Williamson. She's the executive director of the Saltonstall Foundation for the Arts and Arts Colony. We're talking to her about the offerings at Saltonstall. Now, I was wondering if these juried resident participants, do they ever get together and actually do collaborations with their different forms of art and writing?
Oh, that's a good question. There have been examples of that. In my tenure, I haven't seen too much of that. I would say they're really highly influenced by one another.
Oh, really?
In really kind of nice, organic ways. I took this for granted. They get together for dinner. We provide a chef-prepared dinner Monday through Friday. And so dinner time is really the time when people get to know one another. Everyone is kind of siloed in their communities, and that's not a criticism. That's just sort of an observation.
Oh,
and
sure.
It really could be the case that it's the first time a painter has had an opportunity to talk to a poet, even when that poet lives in their community with them, and just ask the basic 20 questions like, what is your life like as a poet in Brooklyn or in Syracuse or Buffalo? And I think in that way, there's a really lovely exchange of experiences that broaden their own understanding of sort of the arts in a capital, kind of with a capital A. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to work directly together, although that's happened from time to time. But I think it's a little more organic than that.
I think it must be a great lesson, too, because I always hear about artists and writers competing with other writers. And, you know, there's some envy if somebody gets published by a bigger publisher. And then such subjects like that do come up in the circles that I've talked to.
Yeah. I think that one of the first, it's very funny, the first question that comes up on, like, dinner number one is, you know, what other residencies have you been to? And again, my experience is limited to this particular environment, but they're much more likely to share information, you know, I just had a poem published online with this, you know, journal and I had a really great experience, or this gallery has a fabulous curator, or, you know, whatever it is they're, and maybe it's because they're all living in New York State and they're all maybe part of the same kind of larger ecosystem. There really seems to be a willingness to, like, a rising tide lifts all boats sort of philosophy.
Oh, I love the generosity of that. Because,
yeah.
You know how competitive getting poetry published in the limited journals that are available for non-well-known poets.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to ask you, too, do you still have residencies for teachers?
We do.
Tell me about
that.
I find that fascinating. What is the benefit that teachers would get from doing that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, mostly because it has absolutely nothing to do with their classrooms. It has nothing to do with curriculum development. It's really an opportunity for public school teachers in Tompkins County to have a residency-like experience in a little microcosm. It's only 4 nights, and we've timed them to coincide with the winter recess and the spring recess. And we get a little bit of support for that program from the Ithaca Public Education Initiative, IPEI.
Wow.
Because originally it started out as just the Ithaca City School District teachers, and now it's grown to be county-wide. And really any teacher with an active practice in any visual art or writing can come and really have an uninterrupted 4-night, 5-day stay at the colony with food.
So they have to have a creative bent in addition to being a teacher in some form.
Yes, and I think I had originally envisioned, we'll get all the writing teachers and English teachers and art teachers. What ended up happening is we do get some of those teachers, but we also get, like, the occupational therapist or the English as a second language teacher, or the band teacher, and they have their own, like, poetry practice. They write poetry on their own in the evening time. And so they use the little mini residencies to work on their poetry.
That is fascinating.
It's been a really lovely program. I love it.
Yeah. It feels like the arts and people in the arts are like these separate entities from the real world. So that part of it is really valuable, it sounds like.
That's a nice observation. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that, not that that surprised me about people in general, I think it surprised me about this particular program. I don't even want to call it a happy accident. I'm really glad that they found us And I loved that it appealed to them, that their day job might be completely divorced from an artistic practice.
Ah, yes.
But they're artists. They're creative people kind of outside of work, and this allows them time to come and pursue that.
Have you noticed, because I've talked to some people about this, that the current political climate and the upheaval and the, you know, the anger, has it affected any of the artists that you've worked with in the last couple of years?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
It has certainly had a direct impact. I can't think of anyone that it hasn't impacted. It has certainly affected the actual art that's being made.
Yeah, yeah.
The writing that's being made. People are grateful to the residency also because it feels like a little bit of self-care for them.
Oh, yeah.
An opportunity to maybe disengage just a little bit from that avalanche of news every day that can be very difficult. Yeah, people are anxious and a little worn out, frazzled.
And they're looking for beauty in this really ugly climate that we've got going with us
and,
right now.
Yes, and they walk and they drive up or they take the bus and they sort of get out of the car and you just sort of see the shoulders relax and they take a deep breath and they realize, okay, this is a period of time where I can focus on myself and my work, take care of myself for a little while, even if the work is affected by politics, they still have a little bit of a respite. They can take a hike at the end of the day. There's dinner at the end of the day. So I do feel like we're providing some level of care, I guess.
Yeah, say that. Yeah. And then people are perhaps affected but not infected by what's happening. No, really. I mean, what's happening in this culture is akin to me in some ways like Vietnam, some huge upheaval in our culture. And look at the beautiful stuff and the great art that came out of Vietnam and has come out of a lot of nationwide upheavals.
Yeah.
Rupert Brooke in World War I, the great poet.
Yeah, I'll be curious. You're right. I mean, I'll be curious to see sort of how the arts, again, sort of I use that with a capital A because I think of sort of visual arts and literature in the same breath oftentimes. What we'll see over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm very curious, but I don't think you can be a creative person and not be affected.
Did you have criterion in regard to people that you allow in your program? Do you steer clear of pornography, perhaps, even if it's a photographer doing it?
Oh, that's a good question. No, we really give the juries sort of free rein. I mean, we try to really choose our juries with care. We don't really give them too many restrictions. I look at all of the applications before the jury does, but for the most part, you know, really the only instructions I give them is that you're going to see a lot of work and a lot of different kinds of work, and we'd want you to choose the work that resonates with you, that you feel is the best work you're looking at, and that's about it.
That's encouraging to me about art, because, I mean, you'd think there might be pornography and all kinds of, you know, anti-Semitic stuff like happened during World War II, and it came out in art.
Yeah. I haven't seen any. I mean, I was going to give you a number, but I'm not going to give you a number because I don't want people to feel it. I mean, we are competitive, but that doesn't mean that people should feel shy about applying. But out of all the applications I look at, there's really nothing like that. I mean, if there's nudity, it's not pornography.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Do you stay involved with the artists after they leave the residency and follow their careers?
Yeah.
And does the board and the deciders?
I certainly do, which is tricky because everybody communicates about their lives in different ways. You know, some people have newsletters. Some people are only Facebook. Some people are only on Twitter. Some people just send me emails every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I think through our newsletters, our alums know that we continue to promote them. So I'm always looking for the next book that comes out or chapbook that comes out or exhibition or, you know, whatever their activity happens to be, we definitely stay in touch. And oftentimes we bring alums back to Ithaca for readings at the bookstore.
Yeah.
We've got an exhibition in the fall up at the Corners Gallery. So that's a nice way for us to sort of continue to support them and also really be an active participant in the arts community in Ithaca.
Yeah, I mean, I assume the artists who come to Saltonstall are not one-offs, you know? I mean, they have careers. They're not just coming because they decided to paint a picture.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, so these are pretty serious people. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people are still at the beginning of their careers. They're in their late 20s, their early 30s. It's a very difficult road to travel.
Oh, it's, absolutely.
It's certainly conceivable that after another 5 to 10 years, they've made other decisions in their lives and they're not, they need to make a living. And maybe art or writing is not going to be that path for them. So certainly people gravitate to other professions. But for the most part, yeah, these are pretty serious artists and writers intend to pursue art and writing as a career.
You know what? The thing that I hear from artists so often in my wanderings and as well as on this show, a lot of artists have a hard time finding places to exhibit. So tell me what you encourage people to do. I know Saltonstall has some exhibits, but is it for non-residents?
No. We tend to do exhibitions in town featuring alums of the residency program.
So this is an encouragement to get involved with Saltonstall as a resident.
But that's true. There are not... Galleries close, galleries open, galleries are really, it's tough to make a living as a gallerist, but other spaces pop up, community art spaces, arts councils, academic institutions, but yeah, you're right, it's difficult to find a professionally run space that's just for art, right, that's not used for 10 other things where your art might be at risk of being damaged.
That is
a little trickier to find.
And prejudice.
Spaces.
I mean, there's been prejudice against artists from day one. She's not left-wing enough. She's not classy enough. You know, I don't like his politics.
Right.
So it narrows down into this little box that you have to find for yourself.
That's true. That is true.
We're almost out of time, Leslie. Tell us, are the Saltonstall family involved in the organization still, and do they contribute?
Yes. Alice Saltonstall is on our board for many years. You know, she raised 4 children, so she sort of had her hands full for many years. Right about the time I was hired, I think she had just rejoined the board. Maybe in 2010, I can't remember. We are so grateful that she's on the board. She obviously cares deeply in a very personal, visceral way. This was her sister, and she misses her. She also takes her professional board responsibilities very seriously because we are a not-for-profit. We still derive the majority of our operating funds from the original gift that Connie made to the foundation. The board is responsible for keeping that healthy.
Oh, that's great. Well, we are almost out of time, Leslie. Can you give some contact information? People get in touch, apply.
Yes. Saltonstall.org. SaltonStall.org. People also have the possibility of coming up for our next open house. These are the only opportunities for the public to just come up and see what we're all about. Sunday, July 14th from 2 to 4. There are a few more scattered throughout the summer, but you can find them on the website. And you can also email me at artscolony@saltonstall.org.
Well, great. Leslie Williamson, thank you so much for joining us. Again, I've been talking to the executive director, Leslie Williamson, of the Saltonstall Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.